Imagine heaven coming down to earth. What if heaven wasn't up in the sky somewhere? What if it comes right to us? In today's episode, Stephen reveals what's in store as described in Revelation 21. You'll hear about a new heaven, a new earth, and a heavenly city that will descend. It will transform our world forever. What will it be like to live on a perfected earth with no death, pain, or tears of sorrow? Stick around to discover more.
There's an old gospel song that includes this lyric, "Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there." Well, I know that's pretty bad grammar, but it's actually good theology. Jesus Christ himself once said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven," Matthew 7:21. But here's something else to consider. Not even everyone who's going to heaven has a good understanding of what heaven is really like. Well, people would say, it's a place up there somewhere. We're going to get a new body. We're never going to be sad again. Maybe we're going to float around a little bit and probably do a lot of singing. Now, as you set sail with me into the opening verses of Revelation chapter 21, you might be surprised to learn that your future in heaven is going to involve life on planet Earth. Here's what John says as he opens now in verse 1. "Then I saw a new heaven, that is universe, and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." Now in our wisdom journey, we studied what the Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, that the heavens above, that is the universe, along with the earth, will be burned up at the end of human history. The prophet Isaiah predicted this in chapter 65, that God will one day create new heavens, that is a universe, and a brand new earth. Well, John sees the appearance of that new heaven and that new earth here in Revelation chapter 21. And this word new, it's a new earth that he uses, well, it refers to a new kind of earth, a new kind of universe. In other words, the new creation will have continuity with the old creation as we know it now, but it's going to be uniquely new in ways we can't even imagine yet. But it's sort of like your future glorified body. You will still be you. You'll still have your personality, your gifts, your wiring, your physical features. You'll be perfected and made immortal. Well, the earth isn't going to look like the moon. It's going to look like the earth. It'll be recognizable, but perfected. It's going to be made to last forever. Well, this is part of God's gifts to us, and we're going to be able to explore and enjoy this magnificently beautiful, recreated earth and the universe. Now, while John says here that there will be no more sea, that's a reference to the ocean, that doesn't mean there won't be rivers, lakes, and other bodies of water. The ocean is considered a great separator. It's separating nations and people today, but that's not going to be the case in the new earth. We who dwell on the new earth will be united spiritually and geographically. Nothing will separate us again. Well, now here in verse 2, John sees the appearance of a new Jerusalem. He writes, "The holy city coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now, this heavenly city, referred to here as the new Jerusalem, is also called the Father's house in John 14. Well, it's going to descend. It'll rest on a brand new earth right there at the location of Jerusalem, where it is now. Again, continuity, yet unique differences. Heaven, the Father's house, that house of gold, streets, and brilliant light, well, that literally descends to earth, and it becomes the new Jerusalem. Well, as a believer, you've been promised a dwelling place in this golden city of glory. You're going to have a place of residence here. I imagine, however, you're going to be sent out by the Lord on some exciting adventure or expedition as you explore the new heavens and new earth, maybe even going to some distant solar system. Well, throughout the Bible, the redeemed are referred to as a bride. Israel is called the bride of Jehovah. The church is called the bride of Christ. So here, the New Jerusalem is called the bride. Well, that's because it contains all the people who belong to God. So you might say this city descends like a golden carriage, bringing within it the bridal party of God. John's saying here, well, just look. Look, here comes the bride. She's beautifully adorned for her beloved groom, the King of Kings. Now, with the descent of this holy city, John hears an announcement from heaven. He writes in verse 3, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Now, don't misunderstand, God dwells, as it were, with every believer today in the person of the indwelling Holy Spirit. But we don't see the God we worship, do we? Well, that's going to change. We're going to have face-to-face fellowship with the physical embodiment of the triune God, who happens to be our groom, our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. John wrote in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, we shall see him as he is. And let me tell you, our feeble little faith is going to turn into perfected, glorious sight. Well, now in verse 4, John is told some things that will not be in this newly created universe, heaven, as it were. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. It's the Garden of Eden all over again, yet without sin. Now, don't misunderstand this here. The promise here of no more tears is related to these events that are now gone. Death, mourning, and pain. You'll never again shed a tear over those things. But listen, that doesn't mean you won't weep for joy or be moved to tears at the music of heaven or weep tears of gratitude when you see your Savior. Some people seem to think that emotional tears won't exist at all in heaven. Oh, they will. They will never, however, be tears of sadness. Well, now John records an announcement from God who begins to affirm all that John has seen. He says here in verse 5, I am making all things new. Then God announces in verse 6, it is done. It's finished. Well, God's new creation for the redeemed to enjoy forever is finished. I personally believe we're going to watch the Lord follow the pattern of Genesis chapter 1 in this new creation as he says, let there be light. And then he recreates light. And then the planets and stars and animal kingdom and trees and everything else. We're going to get to see it happen, I believe, this time around. Well, God now says in verse 6, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Well, that means nothing was before me and nothing is beyond me. The same expression is used to describe both God the Father and God the Son. Both are without origin. Both are without ending. And this, of course, speaks of the equal essence of their deity. Well, finally, John hears God make a promise to believers here in verse 6. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. I like to think of the spring of water as the fountain of youth, perpetual youth, health, and eternal life. And God paid for it in full, and he now gives it, so to speak, as a wedding gift, and it's not going to cost us anything at all, for he paid it all. Now, there's another promise given here in verse 7. John writes, the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Now, let me tell you, one who conquers One who overcomes isn't some special class of Christian. It refers to every Christian. For every Christian has overcome the devil, death, and sin through Christ by faith in Christ alone. We're all overcomers there in heaven. Now, verse 8 reminds us of those who are not going to inherit the blessings of heaven. He writes, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Now, let me tell you, we're all guilty of these crimes. We're all guilty of sins like these. The difference is we've asked Christ for forgiveness. And the people John mentions here, well, they wanted nothing to do with Christ. We wanted the Savior. Well, these people wanted their sin. And those who've rejected Christ will be rejected by Christ. They're going to experience the second death. Remember, death in Scripture never means annihilation. It means separation. They will forever be separated from the God they did not want. Now, if you're among those described here without forgiveness through Christ, please listen to the Lord's invitation today. It's an invitation the bride of Christ accepted. It's repeated back in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved." Now, if you're among those described here without forgiveness, standing before God in your sin, I want you to listen to the Lord's invitation today. He'll offer you forgiveness without cost because He paid for it all. Well, here's the invitation. In fact, it's repeated back in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. It's as simple as this: "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved." Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
The future is breathtaking. A new heaven, a new earth, and God dwelling with us. Everything changes when heaven comes down. That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called, When Heaven Comes Down to Earth. Stephen has a series of full-length sermons through the book of Revelation that will take you deeper into this fascinating book. Access those online at wisdomonline.org. Then, join us back here next time.